Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Lord, we love your kingdom. We love your kingdom. We desire that your kingdom come in its fullness and in its strength and power. Let your kingdom find expression in our lives. Let it find expression in this meeting. Let not this meeting go without your kingdom being seen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the ministry of the word this morning. Thank you because there will be clarity and there will be understanding. Thank you because there will be utterance and there will be understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let us be seated in God's presence. We are all welcome this morning. Thank God for yesterday. Thank God for how that is started out with us. And we trust God that this meeting is going to rise and rise until we get to a powerful climax where there will be very evident manifestations of God's kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of God is not something we are supposed to just talk about. It's not just something that we are supposed to just hear, like Pastor D said yesterday. It's also that which we have to see. Job said, I've heard with my ears, but now I see with my eyes. So we don't just want to hear about the kingdom being spoken. We want to see God's kingdom in manifestation. Hallelujah. Amen. This kind of meeting is, when you look at the lineup of ministers that have been invited, for me to come and talk here is putting the, what's it called now? Putting the armor of Saul on David. David said, when he attempted, he said, no, I can't go with this thing. It's too heavy. Hallelujah. So I will just stay within my own small space. Amen. Hallelujah. So just pardon me. I'm only operating within the sphere of the grace that God has given to me. It may not be like other men in terms of his depth, but I will just bless us a little. Isaiah chapter 2, we are talking about thy kingdom come. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many who shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Hallelujah. Let's go to Micah. This is one of the few prophecies that we have two different prophets repeating almost word for word. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Hallelujah. you know, when we look into the scriptures, you discover, when you hear some of these things, you know that a lot of these things are still very much in the future. Because right now, the judgments of God are not accepted in the nations. I hope you understand. The things that command men, where the nations get their, how do I put it now? Inspiration and the things that govern them are not from God. The nations of the earth are not being ruled by the constitution of God at this time. God is not welcome as a judgment among the nations. But the scripture clearly tells us that at a time is coming where he will judge among many nations. He will rebuke the peoples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But all of these things are one way or the other tied up to his kingdom coming. Even if you look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, what do we have there? Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will must be full in full manifestation. Hallelujah. Paul told us that no man resisted God's will. But you know that even as many of us that are seated here, many times we resist his will. Hello? Many times we resist his will. Why? There is still disobedience in us. Many times we know God's will. We know what he wants us to do. Forget about specific instructions and directions. Let's go to, you know, basic. Take for instance a commandment like to walk in love. Take for example a commandment to walk in love. And love will tell you, you should not speak ill of your neighbor. But many times, how many times have we disobeyed that commandment? It shows that even his kingdom, even we that are people of his kingdom, are not walking yet in fullness of what? Of that kingdom. Because when the kingdom fully comes, all that is in you will respond to that kingdom in its fullness. Hallelujah. But back to Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4, Isaiah gave a prophecy and Micah came and repeated the same prophecy that in the last days, I don't know why it has to be in the last days, and I hope that you know that we are in the last days. You know, I said this, you know, in a funny way many years back, I said, if as at the time of Paul they were in the last days, then what are we now? Over 2,000 years after. Men, if you want to walk with God, buckle up your shoe. Buckle up what? 2,000 years ago, he said last days. If you were 2,000 years ago and he said last days, what will your mind be telling you? You'll be looking like, well, maybe some few years after. And 2,000 years after, we are seeing what? We are seeing last days. That is why you can't walk with God in the flesh. God will wear you out. What did Jeremiah God was talking to? He said you ran with footmen. You are crying. You don't want to walk with horsemen. What are you now going to talk about? Are you talking about horsemen? He's talking about spirit journey. Spirit what? We still complain, you know. You maybe you are a student of Futa. I say, in fact, these people, this wala, go to this lecture, and then you come exhausted. I say, if every man can wear you out, then what will you do when we come into realm of spirit? That is why the ordination of that journey is not in the flesh; it is spiritual. And that is one of the main core of what I want to make us to see this morning. That the ordination of God's kingdom is not something that is fleshy. That was why when the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said, how shall we know when the kingdom of God comes? He said, you have missed it. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. You have missed it. It only comes by observation, because to deceive you, they will tell you that it is over there, it is there. There is none of those places. Why? Because his operation is not fleshly. It's not the wings of strength of man. It's purely spiritual. Amen. God help me to build up this message. So back to that. And so, you know, they gave this prophecy and, you know, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above the hills. And, you know, sometimes we say something, but it's good that we let us have a, you know, when the Bible talks about some things, there are many things it could mean. And, you know, one of that word there is mountain. And I was trying to look at certain things. I want us to just see that word is actually talking about government. It's talking about kingdom. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he forgot his dream. He forgot his dream. And then, can you imagine? Somebody had a dream. What is your problem? You say you forgot your dream. You know, some people should come and tell you your dream. Have you heard of such thing before? Bro, Lori had a dream overnight, and he said, Pastor Lee, he said, you are prophetic. What dream did I have? It's left to you. You can't remember your dream. That's your cup of tea. But to make the matter worse, that is kingdom. Like Daddy was saying yesterday, it's not democracy. How will you have a dream and then you tell me, people can't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill all of you. Do you get that? But what's the stress? Normally, you know, there were astrologers, there were soothsayers. Babylon was a highly developed nation, and you know, it's not just natural. They also had guys that were into all kinds of things. There were dream interpreters. So when the king called them and said, I have a dream. I've forgotten my dream. Tell me my dream and give it. They said, sir, oh king, yes. Tell us your dream. We are skillful in that one. We interpret your dream for you. But he said, I can't even remember the dream. And the dream was troubling him. And, you know, Daniel and his friend went to prayer. They sought God. And the matter was revealed to Daniel in the night. Now, not to waste our time, let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel 2:27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Take note of that. A stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the shaft of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You see that? The stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The whole earth. This is a dream. I will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, are the king of kings, for the God of heaven, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to verse 30, sorry. Let me calm down. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven are he given into thy hand. I meet verse 37. Thou, O king, I, the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with merry clay. Verse 44. And in the days of this king shall the God of heaven do what? What will the God of heaven do in the days of this king? We shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all this kingdom, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel, in his interpretation, told us that now there was a stone that was cut out without hands that smote that image at his feet. Now, the image talked about, you know, kingdoms and kings. He said the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar himself. Then he said other kingdoms will come. But in the midst, he said in the time of those kings shall the God of heaven establish a kingdom. And what was the manifestation of that kingdom in that dream? A stone that was cut out that smote and became a mountain. Hallelujah. So that stone that evolved into a mountain was a representation of what? The kingdom of God. Are we together in the house this morning? Are we together in the house this morning? There were kings and there were kings that ruled over kingdoms. There were kings that ruled over kingdoms. These people had administration of justice over the entire earth. When Babylon was reigning, you know, it was, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar was reigning, it was almost the entire earth that was under his rule. That was why when Jesus rose from the dead and his disciples asked him, they said, will you at this time restore what? The kingdom to Israel. They didn't say, now, Israel had a king. Of course, at that time, Israel had already been, you know, Edom was the one ruling Israel at that time. Yes, sir. They were not just saying, give us a king in Israel. They were saying, elevate Israel where the king of Israel is the king of the whole earth. Hello? There is difference between, let me come again. He said, will you at this time restore what? The kingdom. Will you at this time, you should have given us that scripture now. Will you, that's Acts chapter 1. Quickly. Let's be patient with our brethren. Hallelujah. They are not yet there. Let me quickly look for it. Acts chapter 1. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, look at it. Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Why? Because there was a time that Israel had a king in David, who subdued all other nations around him. The only time Israel had that kingdom was in the time of David. Because even their own country, by the time David left, Solomon actually managed the 12. By the time the son of Solomon came to Rehoboam, the kingdom had already been divided to two. So they didn't have a kingdom of their own, talk less of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So they were not asking for just something small. They were looking at kings in the order of Nebuchadnezzar. Not kings like Ahab or Rehoboam. I don't know what I'm saying. Those were not just kings of a nation. Look at what they said about Nebuchadnezzar. He said, thou art a king of kings.
It was God. The mesh, they said that about again. It was God, they said that. You can imagine, and God permitted it to be put in the scripture. Of course, you know that there are kings. Those are in the realm of earthly kings. God reigns over kings that are not even earthly. Hallelujah. Those angels, are they not lords? Those angels. You have an angel that is, you can imagine, one angel is managing all the water. And you can just do everything, and you know, if they just want to wipe the whole of Nigeria now, you know, it doesn't take, you just press some key, and then some things will just come out, and Nigeria will be history. It says one angel stood, one leg on the sea, one leg on the water, and raised his hand, and, no, I don't know how mighty. The Bible says his glory filled the whole earth. Oh my boy. See, you don't understand what you have. If the glory, the light that beamed for one angel can fill the whole earth. One. And the Bible says that the world to come had not been subjected to angels. Is that of which we preach? It's beyond our mind. Let's go on. So, when they therefore were come to ask of him, without this time restore again the kingdom to Israel, all nations should bow and submit. But Jesus said, in fact, he didn't want to discourage them. He said, don't worry. That one is not your problem. But you receive power. After the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. You can begin to herald another kingdom. Because God has bypassed. That's not the thing now. Amen. That's not the thing. Of course, we are not saying God doesn't have an agenda for Israel. I don't know so much about that. God has, the Bible, at least Paul told us that Israel shall be saved. God has plan and purposes for them, but it's not like, it's not that thing they were thinking. But what I'm saying is that their minds, just imagining, why? Because God had already said, was it not said at the birth of Jesus Christ, he said they will give him the throne of his father David. So, but he left and we didn't even see. That is why this is beyond this. Does he not have the throne of his father David? But is he manifesting in that other? No. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm saying all of this is to establish that. So when I'm trying to bring out something from the word mountain, that Daniel chapter 2, you saw that the mountain was actually an expression of the kingdom of God. Which evolved. You see that it evolved. It was a stone that was cut, and then it became a mountain that filled the whole earth. And he said that was God's kingdom. So sometimes when the word, I mean not authoritatively that the word mountain always means kingdom and government, but it one of the things that it stands for is kingdom and is government. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, we have to also patiently read this, verse 1, Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great all that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Verse 4, and the woman was, okay, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns and ten horns. Look at that. It had seven horns and seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Even the apostle, that thing you will see, even the apostle saw Babylon. He said, I wonder with great admiration. I've not seen this kind of beauty. And verse 7, and the angel said no to me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which are the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. I shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. You see, these things are deep things.
Why do I say beaten? Because they are sharing one side with God. He said, this is that which was. And what? Is not. And somewhere he said, the beast shall come. These are things that were earlier used to describe the Lord at the beginning of Revelation. The one who was, who is, and is to come. And you have seen beings that are the order of darkness. And they have been described along that same path. These things are fearful things. And verse 8, the beast that thou sowest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottom left pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. The beast that was is not, and yet is. Mystery. And here is the man which hath wisdom. The seven heads are what? Seven mountains. On which the woman what? And there are seven kings. So if the seven heads are seven mountains, and there are seven kings, so that means that those seven mountains are actually seven kingdoms. Hello? It's clear, it's simple. Verse 9, and here is the man which had wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman seated. And there are what? Seven kings. So each of those kingdoms has what? A king. Those heads are actually kings that have kingdoms. You will see what they call the horns later. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. The book of Revelation is very interesting. You know what? But you know the first told us at the beginning, before they started saying this thing, they already told us this is mystery. In the whole of the Bible, there are few mysteries. The other ones are for God. This place, this is another mystery. In fact, okay, you talk about the mystery of godliness. You talk about the mystery of the body, the mystery of iniquity. Now, this is... He's still talking about the same. This is how this iniquity at work here. So, and the beast, verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and went into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have not what? Can you see now? You see horns evolving into heads. Can you see? He said, these horns are what? They are kings which have received not kingdom as what? Yet, but receive power as kings. 1 hour with the beast. I'm not, see, my interest is not able to come and open Revelation because I don't even understand it. I just want to pick the thing I need. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to show us is this, that so we are seeing here again that we saw seven mountains which have been managed as by seven kings. And when you are talking about kings, you also talk about kingdoms. But here we saw that there can be kings without kingdoms. Amen. And that is why I don't like when it's good to confess something. It has made us what? And priest. But you see here that you can have power as king and not as kingdom. Hello? So next time you are confessing that thing, look at it again. Do I have a kingdom? Your kingship is undisputed. But are you having a substantial reign? Because all of these things are things that are brought from God. The real essence of these things are in God. They are not in this thing.
Hallelujah. But you know what interests me the most? See, there is hope. Why do I say there is hope? Let's look at I'm looking at time, but let's read the scripture. I think you are enjoying the reading of the scripture. Okay, so let's look at verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and what? King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and what? Faithful. And he said unto me, the water which thou sowest where they all seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sowest upon the beast. Look at this. The 10 horns which thou sowest upon the beast, these shall hate the all, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to do what? To fulfill his will. There's hope. He said, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Everything is a counsel, it is a plan. And everything is just going to work out according to how God wants it. Don't be afraid. Satan, see, the end of the game has already been decided. You have won. You have won. There's nothing Satan can do about it. Even his own, do you know what God is doing? The Bible says that the kingdom divided against itself shall what? God will put virus in that system, attack the system from inside and explode it. Is that not what he's doing here? This beast is not a godly beast. Babylon is not of God. But Babylon is going to carry things that will destroy it. Because the horns are on the head of Babylon. Hallelujah. Okay. So we have seen that. Now all of those things I said all those things to establish the fact that mountains talk of kingdoms. Mountains talk of government. So now back to Isaiah chapter 2 now. That it says that what? The mountain. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. So having that understanding, we can divide. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall do what? Shall flow unto it. Now, you heard in that place that beast is going to become what? That beast is going to become what? It says it's going to become desolate. How is it going to become desolate? Because Zion is going to become so much beautiful, and souls will migrate out of the world and journey to Zion, and nothing will be left of the world. He said, all nations shall do what? Flow. When you look at this prophecy, sometimes are these things really possible? At least these things are not after rapture. Say you start and see. He said, all nations will do what? That means we are still here. Hello? That means what? That means we are still here. God has much more plan than even our evangelism can do. Listen, the evangelism that is going to top up this whole thing is not just going to be evangelism that is going to be by ministry gift alone. It's going to be an evangelism that are carried out by kings with kingdoms. Why? Because what will mark the end of the world
is, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations for a witness, and then shall what? The end come. And the gospel of the kingdom is not just going to be preached by mouth. There will be demonstrations. That is when kings are preaching. And when kings are preaching, they are showing the beauty of their kingdom. This is my reign. What do you have to show? Me, I want to show God that I can speak in tongues. I know that I have a kingdom. Yes. But I don't just want to have a kingdom. I want to operate in the fullness of that. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, that's where I want to actually stay and just say a few things. I know I don't have much other time. So, and it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. Now, look at this. I want us to really understand this thing. Is that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Why is it difficult for us to do evangelism now? Now, take for instance, look at PGTS, look at our, do you know that our physical location is a disadvantage in a way? Before, number one, we are at the back of a petrol station. To make the matter worse for us, they now built another Goliath Jericho wall. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about physical location of what? Of Anglo-East Sabana. Look at what we are now. They blocked us out of the thing. View. Now, that is, in a way, what is happening to the church. The glory, the world is more adorable. Don't deceive yourself. Don't what? The world is more what? Adorable. That's why for you, some of you sisters, with all your declaration of Zion and your tongues, if a brother that is a prayer warrior comes, another one that has money. Even when the Lord says that this is where I want you to go, it takes pastor to help you. And to help the matter, if you go to church, it's just I love the world. The world is not built. The world has beauty. If the world does not have what it can be loved, God will not tell us in his epistle, love not the world and the things that are therein. It's because the world has beauty and it has glory. But God is saying that a time is going to come that the mountain of the lost house, why? Because the lost house has a government. There is a kingdom that is connected to this house. Now, listen, yesterday we were talking about, I think it was Daddy that was saying it, that the agenda of God is not just about the church and the church alone. The issue is out of the church. It's supposed to rise up people that will carry kingdom authority. It won't come from anywhere. That is why it is a mountain of the lost house. The Lord's house is his people. Listen, there are two identities in God. There are in Israel. There are, when you go to Zion, there are two major things about Zion. Zion housed the temple, he also housed the king's house. Hello? It houses what? The temple, and it also houses what? The king's house. So when you are talking about Zion, you are talking about manifestation of two things. You are talking about the temple and what? And the throne. Is the temple and what? And throne. The Lord's house is his people. That talks about, he's talking about the temple. He's talking about that which is worship. He's talking about, you know, purity and cleansing and all those things. But there's also the aspect of the city. He said, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. If we truly do church as we're supposed to do church, it will not just end up in church. It will end up in kingdom. That was why he said it in Matthew chapter 18. He said, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall what? Cannot prevail against it. He said, I will give to you the keys of what? It is the church that the keys of the kingdom is given. He said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of God, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is using of authority and power of heaven to have influence here on earth. I don't think there's anything kingdom other than that. So the mountain of the Lord's house shall be, and it has come to pass in the last day, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above these, and all nations. It's not exempt here, and he said, all nations shall flow. All nations shall flow into it. These things are things that the Lord has spoken and which will definitely come to pass. But the reason why we are gathered together, the reason why we are teaching, the reason why we are admonishing is so that the church can come to a place where we can actually begin to take authority and begin to move in this dimension. Where the church can become exalted. Why? When the church can begin to operate in his authority and his power, expressing kingdom rule, and nations have a reason to go. Is it not the same thing that he said in Isaiah chapter 61? Look at Isaiah chapter 61. No, verse 60 rather. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and what? Kings. Kings. To what? The brightness of thy rising. Now, here, kings is not just talking about, kings as in kings over city. He's also talking about renowned men. High men. There are certain high men. It's not only rulers and presidents of nations that are high. If you get work to any place, that guy is a king. Over an sphere, he's over his sphere is ruling. If somebody like, what's his name now? This famous neurosurgeon. Ben Carson. If Ben Carson in that place, when he enters that place, someone like Wole Soyinka, I was hearing yesterday that I said, in fact, he's not collecting any, they should not give him any award again. He has collected, he's tired of awards. If someone like that stands to talk, in some places they will respect him more than Buhari. Please don't record that one though. Please let not. Hallelujah. You know, it was from Pastor Debo I heard that, you know, he was talking about president. He said they are president and they are president. But there was one country he went to that has a president. All the police officers in that country, there are maybe about 20-something. I don't think the whole country, maybe the whole country will be like Futa area. And they have a president too. So you know there are presidents and there are kings. But this king, he said, and the Gentiles will come to their light and kings to the brightness of what? Of their rising. See, we don't have time to begin to look at. When you go to the book of Revelation, and that city was Esri, you will see it talks about the glory of that glory of that city. Listen, there is a glory attached to this thing we are talking about. And the true evangelism is going to be done by ministry of glory. See, I don't know the difference between miracles and glory. But listen, Israel will not respond to miracles. Israel will respond to glory. Take that one. I've not studied the dividing line. But you know Israel is, you know Israel and glory, they are party. When you start, they are miracles. When you start doing your miracles, there is something they are looking for. If they have not seen that one, they will not respond. There is something they want to see. He said, you won't see me until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. See, let's leave that one. Now, I have just about 10 minutes left. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. I want to believe that we have been blessed. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 34. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Now, I want to quickly summarize this message. Now, how did this kingdom come about? Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. If that sound can go, please, I would like it. So, we saw that stone that evolved into the kingdom was what? Was cut without hands. That talks to you that thing is not human. Hello? It's not of man. That's what he says. The word hand there symbolizes strength. It symbolizes power. He's saying that this stone, the cutting of the stone, it has nothing to do with what? With man. It's not of man. It is beyond man. And we're going to understand. Technical, help me now. If we are truly going to understand the foundation of the kingdom, you will know that the kingdom of God is not of man. Now, who is Jesus Christ? Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon what? Who is this talking about here? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and what? The government shall be what? Upon his shoulder, meaning that he only has the capacity to bear what? The kingdom. He's the one that can carry the kingdom. He's the one that can sustain the weight of the kingdom. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. Now there's something I want to show us. Now it talks that Jesus is what? Is the government is going to be upon his shoulder. He's going to administer the kingdom. He's the one that has the strength to bear the weight of the kingdom. Now when Jesus was going to be born, what was? Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I what?" That's the problem. How shall this be what? No, this mountain was cut out with that hand. This stone was cut out what? Is going to not be by man. What did the angel tell her? The angel said, and the angel answered and said unto her, "Do what? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that only thing which shall be born of thee shall be what? Called the Son of Man." The stone was cut out with that hand. You have not known man, but you will bear this one. Because he that will bear the government upon his shoulder is not going to come the way men come. Because it's not going to be, oppression of it is not going to be of man, but it's only going to be of God. Have you had such thing before that a virgin conceived? That is why all of the operations of the kingdom of God is sealed and signed in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Listen, every time they want to come into kingdom things, God actually confused man. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto the Rabbi, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do this miracle that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? He cannot what?" What did Nicodemus say? Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's what?" Your problem is that it is not man. It's not man. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. What did he say? He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That does not happen. It only happens by spirit. Meaning that what I'm talking about here is not a fleshly birth, it's a spiritual birth. That is why you cannot even begin to see the kingdom until something of the spirit begins to happen to you. And the beginning of it, the foundation of it, is that the spirit is going to bring conviction. Is that how it is? That it will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that is why it begins there. There's a conviction of sin, then you get saved. Hallelujah. There's a conviction of sin, you do what? That's where the work begins. That conviction can only come by the Spirit. And that is why it is at that point that you get born again. He says, and when you come to that position, you can begin to what? See the kingdom. This stone was cut without hand. It is not of man. It is of God. And that is why when we truly want to operate in kingdom dimensions, we have to let go of that which is man. And that is why even in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither that corruption inheriting corruption. Hello? It's not of flesh, it is not of man. It's of the Spirit. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. What does it say? Romans chapter 14 verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and what? Peace and what?
joy what? In the Holy Ghost. We are, see, this is the food. If you want to talk about the kingdom of God, it finds expression in these three: righteousness, peace, and joy. As I close, I've already told us that now that the Holy Ghost brings conviction of sin, we get born again, that's a spiritual birth. And then chapter 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You come into Pentecost. Now the last of it is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Feast of Joy. The Feast of Tabernacles is a Feast of Joy. And the fullness of that feast. How do I put it? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's leave righteousness. We've talked about that a lot. Peace. What is peace? Peace means that there is no more opposition. Every enemy has been dealt with. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. How do I say this? There is joy ahead. They were supposed to come into the fullness of. But you cannot talk of fullness of that while an enemy is still standing. Because his righteousness is what? Peace. There must be. Peace is not just a conciliation with God. He said, when your obedience, be in a readiness to avenge disobedience. When your obedience is what? Avenging disobedience is peace. Hello? Avenging disobedience is peace. It says, for God, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan shortly under what? Because the reason why you are not yet in joy is because there is still an enemy. But wait, don't push everything to rapture. He now said in Romans chapter 8, if the spirit of him that dwelleth in you, he shall also what? Quicken your mortal body. When life is at work in you, joy will come. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. We give thanks to you. Thank you for the ministry of the word this morning. Receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.
Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint, know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.